You're listening to the Stain and Seal Experts Podcast. I'm your host, Caleb Roth. I'm here joined tonight with John LaFleur. He is our national sales manager. He takes care of all of the sales. He sells our stains and sealers, our pre-stained lumber, and all the similar products that we have in our store. Say hey, John.
It's great to be on the podcast, Caleb. I appreciate the opportunity, brother.
Well, we're glad to have you on the team here, and we're just going to go right into it. We wanted to just kind of give an update on our business here, where things are going with Stain and Seal Experts. We got our pre-stained lumber line up and going. It's a go. It's wide open. Orders are slinging out the door. We're doing one color of pre-stained lumber. It's a medium brown color. We're doing fence pickets, post, 2x4s, and it's all cedar right now. If you want to get some of that, just go to the Stain and Seal Experts store, or you can contact us for a list of our distributors that that sell that product. Also, our fence and deck stain and sealer. It's kind of a new product that we've launched for retail sales. We've been using it, making it in-house for about 5 years now. Got a lot of fences, hundreds of fences with it on, probably thousands. And we've had great results, got a great formula, and it's definitely something you should take a look at again. That's on the Stain and Seal Experts store. You can find that on our website, stainandsealexperts.com, or just go to our Facebook page. And before we get started tonight, we want to ask you to like this podcast, share it with your friends, post it on Instagram, give us some likes, give us all that love. We need that. Give us 5 stars. We need that to get moved to the top of the rankings in these podcasts. It's very competitive, as you know. But, John, tonight we're going to talk about questions that we get most often. We've got a list of questions here from some contractors tonight. Normally we get them from homeowners. Tonight we're getting them from some contractors asking about the business. And when we get into that, John, first of all, tell us what we've got in the works. I know you said something earlier about we were looking at getting a deck stain and sealer and then a concrete sealer. You got anything on that before we get started?
Yeah, so we're looking at trying to build a premium deck sealer. We want something that's going to last for our contractors. We find time and time again a lot of companies try to create a deck formula, deck stain formula, and they just can't quite get it to last a long time. And that's what we want for our contractors: something that's going to be presentable, so that they can complete every job and have the quality that they're looking for.
Yeah, that sounds good.
As for the concrete sealer, that's still in the works. We don't quite have a product yet, but that's something that we're testing at the moment.
Good deal. I know there's a big question up in the air: oil-based, solvent-based, or water-based. I know some of the products on the market now that are real popular here in Nashville are solvent-based, and I think there's 25 or 30 states that you can't even ship that stuff to. So it's some pretty potent stuff. It stinks. I know. When I've been out and, 3 miles away, somebody's putting it on a driveway, you can smell it. So I'd love to hear some feedback from some of you guys that are listening, maybe that use those products. Would you use a water-based driveway sealer if it performed with the big boys? Give us some feedback. info@stainandsealexperts.com. But let's get started. First questions we got tonight is from Jamie Hodge over at Coastal Premier Stain in South Georgia. He puts a lot of guys to shame. He does a lot of staining, and not many guys out there can keep up with him. So he's got a good business going. But he had a question: how can you tell when you're bidding jobs if it's a water-based stain or an oil-based stain on an old fence that you're quoting a restain on? I'll take that one. Sometimes it's very easy to tell, and sometimes it's nearly impossible to tell. But if it's water-based and it's a film-forming stain, you'll notice right off. You're going to see there's a film on there. It peels off sometimes, or it just looks like a clear or tinted schlack, I guess, is, for lack of a better term, a schlack on there. But usually those, there's only one choice for our company. When we're bidding a job like that, we're going to bid it very high, and we're going to bid cleaning it and going over it with a solid water-based stain. Those solid water-based will cover just about anything, and it'll what you're going to get when you're finished. Sometimes we see penetrating stains that are that. If I had some pictures, I could really do it justice. In the show notes of the show, I'll probably put some pictures to show you. But a lot of times, an old water-based stain, some of them will fade down to nothing, where there's only pigment left on the surface. And if that's the case, you can go over that with an oil-based stain. A lot of the pigments, well, all the pigments, that they all start out the same. You know, water-based or oil-based stains, the pigments start out the same, and then they're, you know, go through the chemical process to get them made for water-based or oil-based. So if the pigments are left and that's all, you can go over it with any product you please. But the best way to test it is when you're cleaning the fence, you'll be able to tell. You know, when you spray your bleach or your percarbonate cleaner on there, it'll penetrate, it'll clean really fast and really good if there's not much left. And if there's still a lot of sealer or waterproofing on the fence, you'll see that also. It won't clean very well, and water will beat up. That would be one I would go over with a solid. If you got any questions or pictures, send them to us. I've got a guy, one of our crew leaders, his specialty is telling what will go and what won't go when it comes to restains. So send them over to us and we'll take care of you on that. John, question number two, how do you control overspray on shadow box fences? Is it possible?
Man, I get this question quite a bit, and I don't believe it is. It is very possible to control it. You can control it to some measure, but to do something like that, you just have to be careful. You have to be mindful of what you're doing, where you're spraying, how much you're spraying. But I would say it is possible within some realm. Yes, sir.
My take on shadow boxes are you've got to spray them. You can't really brush them and roll them effectively, in my opinion, at least not from a contractor's point of view. You got to get in and out on these jobs. We use both low pressure, like 100 PSI electric pumps. We've used the Wood Defender trailers. They work great. And we've used airless sprayers. I have found that the airless sprayer sometimes won't put out quite as much product. You may have to slow down a little bit with it, but it will not give you as bad of overspray. It'll look just like a huge cloud in the air when you're spraying that thing, but when you go and look at your surroundings, you're not going to have all those little speckles that you're used to seeing on them. So you can do that. And also, a little trick we came up with a couple of years ago, we went to Home Depot. We bought a piece of, I guess it was like a piece of veneer paneling or something, but it was basically a piece of a very thin wood. It's a 4x8 sheet. We bolted on some metal handles, and if you got one that's real bad overspray, you can just have a guy run right along the fence with it and hold it up while the guy's spraying behind, or even a one man can leave it leaned up against the fence and make it work. But you can slide that down right as you go, and it'll trap a lot of the overspray. You can shove it between the house and the fence also and make cutting in real easy. So that's an option if you want some plans or drawings on that. Again, info@stainandsealexperts will get you some pictures on that. John, question number three, using social media to generate leads. What are your thoughts on that? What do you think about using social media these days for advertising your business?
You know, we were, Caleb and I were at the Grant Cardone 10X down in Miami, and he said something about social media is one of the best ways to get a hold of people, get your brand out there. And if you're not promoting your brand, you're basically dooming it to failure, because you need to be out in front of people. You need them to know you so that they're more willing to do business with you. And if you have something along the lines of Facebook, Instagram, Snapchat, I know a little app called 5 Miles, OfferUp. These are just really easy ways for you to get your name, your brand out there. And I do know that it does help you get a little bit of those sales, get a little bit of those sales up.
Yeah, we use a lot of social media with our brand, and I'll be honest, we get leads on social media. We do. We pay for those. We get organic leads, but we pay for a lot too because we do advertise. And I think we're about $5 per message that we get for leads. And I'm going to tell you that $5 number includes probably, well, I know the exact number. We close 4% of those leads that come through. So if we do 100, that's $400. We close two of them. So for $200 a piece is what I've got in it right now. So we've scaled that back some, and we've gone to a more organic approach. And I've found the best leads that we get come through our website. People that are looking for a stain and seal company, they come right through the website. They know what they need, they know what they want, and they're much more likely to do business with us. On Facebook, we're jumping in front of people's face, so we're trying to grab their attention. And when they're scrolling down through that timeline or whatever on their Facebook, their attention span is less than it's a fraction of a second. So I think Facebook is a great way to be present in front of people, along with the other social media channels. But I think it's just one branch of the tree. I think you got to do all of them. But I think you do need you need a good website. You need lead capturing capability on your website. I think that's important. People don't use you because they know you. They use you because they trust you. Well, that's the exact opposite is true. People don't do business with you because they trust you. They do business with you because they know you. If they don't know you, they're not going to do business with you. Obscurity is the biggest factor holding businesses back in America today. So, yeah, get on Facebook, get on social media, get after it, and get it done. All right. Those questions were from Jamie Hodge. All right, moving on. James Porter from Wood Defender has two questions. James is a great guy, been with Wood Defender for a couple years, been in the fencing industry for even longer, and just a great guy to get around. Good people over there. He asked pros and cons of pre-stained lumber. I don't know if I see any cons, but, John, talk about some of the pros of pre-stained lumber, what you see, where you're at, and you deal with those guys all the time. Tell me about that.
Well, I will know from my visits to Dallas, Fort Worth, that a lot of the fences over here, they have, most of the new installs, they have pre-stained fencing. One of the big pros to that is there's no overspray, and another part of that is that you get, basically you get your money as soon as you're done with the job in most cases. The finish always looks great. You shouldn't have any lap marks. The products are just awesome.
Yeah, so I would have to agree with you there. Pre-stain is when you're – it's probably better for the consumer – the finished product buyer, the person who's buying the fence, and for the fence contractor, those are the guys that really benefit from the pre-stain. It's something you got to have a pretty good size facility and some specialty equipment to achieve it. But the people that are set up to do that can put out a great product. It's very consistent, and consistency is key in a lot of these new communities that they're doing. Everybody needs the same color, and it's easy. We're in a lazy society today where everybody wants to get it done and get it fast. Pre-stained lumber might be your answer for that. So what is your opinion? Here's question number two from James. What is the best way to prep an old deck to be stained, or cleaning it before it's stained? I'll take that one if you don't mind, John.
Yes, sir.
When wood gets old, I don't think there's any right answer. There's when we build a new deck or a new fence and it cures out and we get it down, let's say in 30 days, we get it down to 10-12% moisture content, right now is when you need to strike. That's when the grain looks the best, the stains turn out the best, they last the longest. When we let them turn gray and black, that's mold that's setting up, it's rot, it's deterioration that's already started. We've got to go through a cleaning process to get it back. And you're never going to get it back as good as it would have been. So if it's just an old deck that's never had anything done to it, you can bleach the deck to kill mold and mildew. We bleach severe cases. We also use a percarbonate cleaner, which is basically OxyClean. It's an oxygen-type bleach. It's a lot easier on decks. It doesn't stink. It's just a little more gentle of a cleaner. We can put that on there. It'll bubble up. And whether we use bleach or the percarbonate cleaner, I like to go over the finish once we get all that cleaned off with a brightener. We sell brighteners. You can get other brighteners at Home Depot and Lowe's. There's plenty of them on the market to choose from. But go ahead and put a brightener on it. You're going to remove nail marks. You're going to get rid of the white bleach look. You're going to take the wood back to a more natural look, the yellow or the red cedar look. And it'll just take the stain a lot better if you put a brightener on it. It gets the pH where it needs to be. And once you're finished with the brightener, rinse it off with a pressure washer. A lot of guys preach don't use a pressure washer. I would say that that's not true. You need a pressure washer. From a contractor's perspective, you know, we did so many jobs without a pressure washer, and we got great results. But people didn't feel like they were getting their money's worth from us. When they see a pressure washer out there, they know that the fence is getting cleaned or the deck's getting cleaned. When we're out there with brushes and doing everything, just really nice, fine work, the same results, they're not satisfied without the pressure washer. So get yourself some soft wash house tips. You can hold your hand in front of them while you're spraying. It's low pressure. It'll rinse everything off, and just look at it as an investment, because you can charge more money to use a pressure washer to clean. And it probably does a little better job, and the customer feels like they're getting a whole lot more at the end of the day. So get you some soft wash tips, rinse that thing off, and there you go. You're done with it. I would use that same system if you're going with an old deck that's never been stained, or if you're going with a deck, you know, that has been stained before. But that you, when we start getting into some of these other finishes, we get into a whole nother ball game about old water-based finishes, peeling and all that. We'll just pretend like nothing's peeling. If it's peeling, you best just bid it higher, run away, because you're asking for problems if you do restains on already peeling wood. Been there, done that, and probably the job you want to let the handyman down the road, let him tackle that, and you go on to something a little more easy. So let's see. Next set of questions is from John Shelton from Carolina Stain and Seal. He's down, I believe, in Charleston, South Carolina. He's gone from 0 to 60 overnight. He's been staining, I guess, a couple years now, but it's just really blown up on him. And he had some questions about the business end. When is it time to go full-time with your staining career, and how much to pay your employees? I'll take the first one there. We'll just bounce these back and forth, John. Everybody's different. Me and John have the same personality type, that it's extreme action, massive action. I've done a lot of stupid things in my life, and I overcame them with extreme action. I don't have a very big shovel, but I can dig real fast. You know, if I get in a hole, I can dig my way out of it pretty quick. But for me, the best time to go full time in the staining career was almost instantly. I knew if I anything that I was going to do, I was going to do it 100%, and so I would do it. But I would say, if you've got plenty of jobs on the books, you're making a good margin on those jobs, you've got savings set aside to order materials for your business and to take care of your family at home, whatever those expenses are, have a couple months of expenses set aside for those rainy days, because they come, I would make the jump. If you're sitting at work making $1,000 a week, and you could be out on a staining crew making $1,000 a day, you know, you might forget about those little perks that are a steady paycheck. You know, it's just it just depends on if you got the entrepreneur in you or not. I'm kind of like Zig Ziglar. I would go after Moby Dick in a rowboat, take the tartar sauce with me. So I like to get out there and do things like that. But I would say if you are going to go full time, go early in the year, May, June, July, get out there while you can get out and make some money. And you don't want to jump out in November going full time into the staining business. You know, I think, John, you spent a lot of time down south, close to the coast and stuff. How much y'all don't shut down there? Your guys are staining all year round down there, aren't they?
They're staining all year round, but it definitely slows down. Where we might be doing 10, 15 jobs a week, we might slow down to about 4 jobs a week. That's pretty typical with any staining company. So you really, like you were saying, you really don't want to start standing around November, especially if you haven't built your business up to where you're doing a ton of jobs, a ton of estimates a week. You really want to start at the beginning of the season, whenever spring's starting up, so that you can have some cash flow, some jobs coming in year round. Well, not year round, but through the summer.
There you go. John said it. Cash flow, cash flow, cash flow. That's it. You got to have cash flow in business. Cash is not king. Cash flow is king. You got to keep the money coming in. I think it's the beginning of July. If you've got that emergency fund built up, you've got 20, 30 jobs on the books, even 10 good jobs, I would make the jump. And I would plan on staining every day, no matter what the weather forecast says. I would stain every day, and I would not stop until it starts physically raining on my job. We cut out a lot of downtime and missed days when we did that. If you watch the weather, man, you'll stay at home and not get anything done. And how much to pay helpers? John, is it easy to find help these days?
Man, it is definitely not easy to find help. Like you were saying earlier in the podcast, a lot of the people nowadays, they're lazy. They're not wanting to go out there and sweat with sweat, do hard work, stain fences. It's a dirty job for sure. People pay their helpers either by the day, whatever it is, $150 a day, $100 a day, or they'll pay them by the job or by the hour. So it really just depends on what you want your business model to be. I know in Dallas, it's a little different from Nashville or from Carolina, from Oklahoma. So it really you just have to look at your job market, see what guys are getting paid at the other same companies.
Yeah, I think so. I think particularly in Dallas, Texas, there's a lot of staining guys down there, and there have been for the last 25 or 30 years. So there's a pretty good pool of experienced guys to hire from down there. So if I was in Dallas, I would not be afraid to find a good subcontractor and pay him fairly well, very well, to take care of the jobs for me. You need a guy, if you're going to pay a subcontractor, you need a subcontractor that's sharp. He looks good and he does quality work. You don't need somebody that's, I dealt with subcontractors for about 12 years and they made me pull my hair out. They started out great. And then as time progressed, they became, not what they once were. So if you can find a good guy to take care of you, pay him well, keep him, cherish him, nurture him, train him up, do what you got to do. Pay them very good. I think some guys pay maybe 30% of the job down there, and they'll provide the stain and the job, and they'll send their man out. He'll take care of it, and he'll bring home the check. So if you can work that deal out, it's great. If you're in Nashville, Tennessee, Charleston, if you're in Lexington, Kentucky, New Jersey, you're not going to find that pool of experienced stainers. You can look for painters, but usually a painter and a stainer, in my experience, is very different. Painters do pretty good on decks. When it comes to fences, they're kind of, I'm not speaking for all painters, but what I have found for the experienced painters we've hired, the way we stain decks is just way out in left field, the way we spray fences is so much different than what your average interior exterior painter does. So we are terrible painters at Stain and Seal Experts, but we're outstanding stainers, you know. But when it comes to how much to pay them, it's like you said, you can pay them by the day, by the hour, whatever. I would pay them till it hurts. What I came up, when I started in business, I made $40 a day. and I was so glad to get it. I drove 45 minutes to go get that $40, drove, worked 10, 12-hour day, drove 45 minutes back home, was so happy to have that money. And, you know, I never made an hourly wage equal to what I'm paying guys nowadays to run our crew. So I think, you know, there's a $10 an hour helper. He's probably 17 years old and working for the summer. There's a $12 an hour worker who will run the garden hose for you to keep sidewalks wet and things like that. A $15 an hour helper in Nashville is a guy who's pretty competent. He can talk to customers. He can, he's probably got a lot more potential, but he's not gonna express it. So he's gonna stay at $15 an hour. Then you got your $18 to $20 an hour guys that will handle things, get them done for you, and you can go up from there. But in my opinion, somebody making over $20-$25 an hour, they need to be guys that, like the subcontractor, they're getting things done and there's zero callbacks. The worst thing that we can do is have a callback. I tell my all of our employees when we have a meeting on Mondays and Fridays, walk around the job when it's done. Sit down in a chair on the back porch and take a look at the job. Years ago, when I first started, we stained a fence. We did a beautiful job, but we missed a spot. And this customer called me back, and they said, I hate to sound like a terrible customer, but when I sit down on the bottom step of my deck every morning after I go for a run, right underneath the middle rail, there's about a 1-inch strip that you guys missed. And he said, nobody can see it. He said, but every morning when I put my tennis shoes on after my run or before my run, I see that spot. He said, could you come touch that up for me? So that has stuck with me. If a customer sees one spot that's missed, they're going to start looking for more. So get out there, pay your guys well, train them well. I can't speak more about training. That's, I think, the biggest thing that we're missing in the staining industry today. We're sort of maybe a stepchild industry. We're not the fence business. We're not the painting business. We're somewhere in between. So we don't have trade shows. We don't have continuing education. But we're going to try to change all that. John, what do you think is missing in the training portion of our field, John? You feel like that's something that we're lacking in?
Yeah, I definitely feel so. And something that we just went over just earlier, a lot of the guys that I've talked to, they really don't know, you know, what product to put on the fence, a restain. They don't know what if it's a water base or an oil base, if they should go with a more of a semi-transparent or a semi-solid stain. It really, really also even knowing how to spray a fence, knowing which weather conditions to spray in. Let's see, wind direction is one, and also wind speed. Let's see, another moisture content. You need a moisture meter whenever you go out to a job site. That's also some of the reason that some stains don't last very long, is because guys will apply them in high moisture conditions right after it rains. It's a terrible time to apply stain. So that's just some of the training that I've seen that guys need to learn before they go out and spray fences.
Yeah, I think the spray technique is something that's really underemphasized. I see so many guys that use a great product, they put it on the fence, but it's dark at the top and there's run marks running down the fence. Just a quick change, I mean, literally a 30-second change, and I can show you how to eliminate 100% of that. And so we're gonna try to put something together for some guys. If you want to send some guys out, we'll be glad to train them up for you. That's just something we're looking at doing, a Stain and Seal Expert School. But that brings us to the Stain and Seal Experts Fence and Deck Staining University. That is a Facebook group. Stain and Seal Experts Fence and Deck Staining University. If you want to, if you're in the staining business or thinking about getting in the staining business, jump on there. We got a lot of guys that are in the business all over the United States, and that's a place you can come and ask questions. You can get feedback, show off your jobs that you're doing. You name it. We give out tips all the time on there. We do videos to show different things, but it's a great place to go and learn and get more education, expand your mind. I heard someone say, once your mind has been stretched, it can never go back to the original dimension. So we should always be learning and growing. And I think that's pretty much it for our questions. Again, those questions came from Jamie Hodge. He's in Georgia. He works in Georgia and Florida at CoastalPremierStainLLC.com. Look them up. They do great work. They do fences, decks. They do a lot of high-end cabins and houses. They do these docks, boat docks that go out into the ocean. So if you got one of those, call Jamie Hodge. And John Shelton over in Charleston, South Carolina, at CarolinaStainAndSeal.com. Look those guys up, doing the same type of work Jamie's doing, fences, decks, you know, boat docks, things of that nature, log homes, pergolas. They do really good work. And those are guys that you can count on. They're professionals in the business, so not a handyman service. So it's somebody that will put that stain and seal expert stamp on. Those are definitely experts in their field. And we've got a tip of the day if you're in the fence staining business. It comes down to when you're doing proposals. John, what should you always present to your prospect?
Should always present a proposal. Always present a quote. Never leave that out in any point of business.
Yeah, I agree. I can't remember the exact number, but I think it's 70% of salespeople never present a proposal. That's crazy. They never get
to that point.
Yeah, they go spend their time. They look at the job. They say, oh, it's going to be $700. You know, if it sounds good, let me know. I'll write it up. No. When you show up, stop. Once you've met the person, you've talked over the job, you know what they want, with very, very few exceptions, you need to stop, go get in your truck, go sit down at the kitchen table with them, work up their proposal, get them a quote, and go ahead, and they called you out there. They need it done. I mean, it's your duty. It's your obligation to take care of them. They've got a fence or a deck. It's rotten. It's going downhill. It's your duty, your obligation to get them sold on getting it stained. They're already sold or they wouldn't have called you. So we got to get that stained for them. We got to save them that money, and we're going to beautify the neighborhood. We're going to protect their investment. They're going to tell their friends about it. So do your duty. Present them with a proposal, sell the job, and do it there. And another thing I would talk about in the staining when we're talking about proposals, guys, this is a business. Just like every business, there's a dentist in every town, an electrician, a painter, a fence contractor, and a staining contractor. In every town, there's one guy that's starving to death, and there's one guy that's living in the house on the hill. So don't be the guy that's starving to death. Price is a proxy for premium. So you want to have a good price, a fair price, but also a premium price. When you go to the car dealer, you expect to pay more for a Ferrari or a Porsche. So be that Porsche guy. Sell the high-end product. Take good care of your customers. Put it on at 100 square feet a gallon. It doesn't matter when you're charging 70, 80, 90 cents a square foot to put a little extra stain on there. It's going to drive your reputation through the roof, and you're going to be the guy that they call when they want it done right. So that's all I've got for tonight. John, where can people go to find our stains and sealers?
Yeah, you can go to stainandsealexperts.com. So check us out on there. And also we're on Facebook. You can follow our Facebook page. And as well, you can send us an email if you want some contractor pricing at info@stainandsealexperts.com. I would say to go ahead, and if you have any more questions about the podcast, or if you want one of your questions mentioned, just like we did with these gentlemen, please email us over those questions.
Thanks. That's it, guys. So again, stainandsealexperts.com. Go to the Stain and Seal Experts store, Facebook.com/stainandsealexperts. We're on Instagram, all of those. Like this podcast, share this podcast, give us 5 stars on iTunes, please. All of this will be in the show notes. So you can go over all of that, review it. If you got any questions, again, guys, shoot us an email. Thanks. That's it.